breeder. While the topic of this panel is free of 100 pounds and all of the speakers have had the burden of carrying over 100 additional pounds, this panel is open to everyone. In today's session, we will hear from each of our speakers for 20 minutes and then have questions and answers for the final 20 minutes of our time. Without further delay, I would like to introduce Kia, who will share with us for 20 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Kia. I'm a compulsive eater. I am so happy to be here, so happy to be in a room with fellows who can understand the struggle of having additional weight, 100 extra pounds additional. I myself have been in program since December of 2001, so almost 13 years. And I found Overeaters Anonymous because I was in college, and when I was in college, my eating disorder just really did some really weird and funky things, and I gained a lot of weight in college. I went to a therapist after I kind of figured out that people don't do what it was that I did with food. I don't want to necessarily mention specific foods, but just nonstop binging, crazy night eating, hiding food, and then going back and picking it up later and just hoping that nobody would see the wrappers, trying to make sure that the wrappers were all disposed of very carefully. So all of those really odd things, I kind of figured maybe other people didn't do that, and so I went to therapy, and my therapist said, you know, there is a group for people that do things like that, and it's called Overeaters Anonymous. And in this program, which has saved my life in every way that a life could be saved, I have released 150 pounds. That is everything it is that I have today, I have because of this program and because of the last 13 years that I've spent trying to be in recovery and working a hard spiritual 12-step program. I did not think really that I could ever be a normal weight. I thought normal weight was something that other people got to, and I was just going to kind of be hanging out. I spent the first 7 years in program after I had lost like 100 pounds. So I still had 50 additional pounds, and I hung on to those 50 because there were things that I wasn't willing to let go of. There were foods that, you know, I know we talk about, you know, not having, and it wasn't like sugar. It wasn't sugar, and it wasn't even white flour. They were just things that were, every time I ate those things, it sent me back down the rabbit hole. So that's how I ended up in relapse, and I was 2.5 years in relapse, and now I have 3.5 years out of that relapse. The other reason why I think that I was in relapse for that period of time is that I was really confused about what the program was. I had this idea that the program was, okay, I'm working steps. If I am doing the workbook, the Red OA workbook, which is a fabulous workbook, by the way, so that's not anything against the workbook. But I thought if I answered all those questions, the step one questions in January, that I was working step one. And then when I got to February and I was answering the questions in step two, then I had done step two. But I didn't really understand what the program was. And it wasn't until I kind of got involved with some people actually from here in L.A., Big Book folks, that really kind of showed me, oh, okay, well, this is the program. And that was how it was, being willing to do whatever it took, being willing to let go of whatever foods that weren't serving me, being willing to let go of whatever it was that wasn't serving me. And that was how I ultimately lost the last 50. There's more to it than that, but time is not going to permit me to go into all of that fabulousness. What I really wanted to talk about is what I have received in freedom from 150 pounds. The first thing, probably the most amazing and the best thing, has been my relationship with my higher power. When I first came into program and the years before that, I had the kind of higher power where I could only go to when things were really rough because I was the type of person who could pretty much accomplish stuff on my own steam, and when I would hit the wall, then I would go to God. But that's not a very peaceful way to live. You know, it's not a very peaceful way to live. I was in a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. It was not a good way to have a relationship with my higher power. I believed in God, but I didn't necessarily believe that God could or would do anything for me. I didn't believe that. What happened? And it was in program, because I have to be honest, my top weight, which was like 280, I'm not 110% sure because I'd stopped weighing at that point. When I was, you know, at 280, I realized that it wasn't fun eating anymore. There was always that time in my eating career when I had that bliss. And the bliss obviously got shorter and shorter and shorter. In the beginning, it was longer. But, you know, as time went on, it was shorter and shorter. And then there wasn't even the bliss part. There wasn't even that because I couldn't even enjoy what it was I was eating because I was always thinking about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And when I realized that I could be miserable and fat or I could be miserable and thin, I figured, you know, let me give this abstinence thing a shot. It certainly couldn't be any worse than what it is I'm doing right now. And so that was a very helpful epiphany because I had to get over the food before I could even try to connect with my higher power. Because that, my addiction blocked every meaningful way that I could have connected. And so once that point was hit and I was a little bit more open, things started to flow. Things started to happen for me. So it basically, in essence, taking steps 1, 2, and 3, really figuring out that I was powerless over my addiction, believing that my higher power would remove it. It was all of you that showed me that that was possible. When I saw the recovery in your lives and hearing your stories, I thought, you know, if you guys can do it, maybe I can do it too. And then really on a day-to-day basis, learning how to turn over my will and my life. And goodness knows that is not a perfect process. That is not something that happens easily and without effort. Sometimes it's very clumsy. A lot of times it's very painful. But one day at a time, I get to practice. Okay, here's a situation. How can I not eat over it? God, you got to let me know. What are we doing today? How is this going to work out? So right now, kind of what it is that I'm going through, I have been through a divorce. That was almost 2 years ago, the biggest trauma of my life. And since I was 20, I have spent 3 years now. This is my third year single. So dealing with learning how to be single again and the fact that I'm usually not the one who is the single person. I am usually the one who is part of the couple and really learning how to figure out, okay, what that's going to be like and, oh, does this mean I'm not ever going to find anybody? Well, my history has not borne that out. I mean, God always puts in my life exactly who and what it is that I need when I'm ready and when the time comes. So because I've had some fear and anxiety about this was a situation where I wanted to take it to my higher power. And at my sponsor's very wise suggestion, she said, you need to write a letter to your higher power and tell your higher power everything it is that you want in the person that you're looking for. And after that, release it, know it's gone, and don't worry about it. So I did absolutely that. I wrote a letter to my higher power, just really outlining what I was looking for. What I now know is if you guys ever do that, make sure that you're specific, because God is very literal. At least my higher power is extremely literal. And I wrote this letter, I tucked it away, and I didn't worry about it anymore. 19 days later, I met someone, and it was probably like maybe a month and a half afterwards that I decided, let me go and look at this letter and see what it was that I wrote. So I look at what it was that I wrote, and this person was every single one of those things. Every single one of those things. Now, fast forward 5 months later, she is also a lot more, a lot of other additional things, the woman that I met. Lot more things, and it didn't work out. But what I got from that is just trust that my higher power is listening. My higher power is watching. My higher power is paying attention, knows what it is that I need. And it was the perfect relationship for what it was that I needed at the time. And even the pain of getting through it and getting on with my life, I have grown so much in my faith, grown so much in my relationship with my higher power. So that is probably the biggest and best gift that I had. But I wanted to make sure that I gave you guys an example of how that freedom can come. The next thing, big gift that I've gotten freedom from 100 pounds, is my relationship with myself. Before program, and probably the first couple of years in program, I hated myself and didn't realize it. I did everything it was that I could to destroy my body. I went around judgmental and critical, not just because I hated myself, but because I hated you too. And I mean, I did. I was so stuck and I was so negative. And when I ate, I felt nothing. And so when the feelings would start to come back, then I'd have to eat again so that I wouldn't have to feel all of that stuff. I was afraid. I was afraid of people. I avoided mirrors like the plague. One of the panelists and I were talking before, and we were talking about having pictures of us when we were heavy. I don't even have any pictures of me when I was heavy because I wouldn't take a picture. I wouldn't take a picture, and now I feel like, I mean, I've got some where I was maybe 40 pounds down from my heaviest weight, but that wasn't anywhere near where I ended up. And so when I think about how much self-loathing that I had, and now to be in a place where I am learning how to love myself more, every single day I'm learning how to love myself more, what happened to make that transition in my relationship with myself? Again, I had to stop eating compulsively because every time I ate, I hated myself more for doing it again. And again, and falling into that in the morning, I have these great intentions and everything is going to be fabulous. And by noon, I've got my face down in the trough, so to speak. I took steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, continued to take steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, doing inventory work. That has made a huge difference in how it is that I feel about myself. And by that, I mean that I have to look at my behavior. It's not all you. It's not just that, you know, this person was a bad person and they're doing these things to me. I get to see my role in things, and I get to see, oh, hey, if I live a better life, if I'm kinder to people, if I'm nicer to people, if I'm nicer to myself, I have a better experience. And so it goes and it goes and it goes. It's a miracle that when you actually live well, you feel better. What a concept. So that's how it is that I get to love myself more every single day. It's not perfect. It's absolutely not perfect. But there are things that I do today that I never could have done before when I was heavy. I dance, and I love to dance. And I'm actually fairly pretty good at it, at least so I'm told. And that is a miracle, because when I was 280 pounds, me on the dance floor, I couldn't have done it if I'd wanted to. But if I did get up and do something, I got a song and then I'm sitting down because my feet hurt. I was the wallflower. I didn't want people looking at me and wondering how big my butt was. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's where I absolutely was. But today, I can just be myself and still learning who that is and what that is. I'm not afraid to stand up in front of you. There was a time when I would have insisted on sitting in this chair because I couldn't have stood up and talked. I didn't want you to see me. And now I want you to see me, not because I'm awesome, but because I don't want to hide anymore. The days of me hiding and being ashamed and self-loathing and, we're done with that. It's my time now. And this program, these 12 steps, they have given me the tools and the ways of living that I'm able to be that person that I always dreamed of. Okay, and lastly, relationship to my fellows. That was the third most amazing gift that I've gotten in this program. I didn't really have friends before I came to program. I had one person in my life that I was codependently, addictively clinging to, and then there was everybody else. And me and this person, whoever it was, were locked in sickness together and doing whatever sick stuff sick people do when they get together. And that was just kind of how it was that I lived my life. Through program, through the 12 steps, through doing steps 8 and 9 and 10, keeping in conscious contact with my higher power, being of service to my fellows, and not just the people in this room. My fellows are every person that I encounter, figuring out how to be of service to them, how to apply these principles to them. I have the most amazing and rich fellowship life. And like I said, not just even speaking about OA. I have great friends. Some of whom I met my sponsor, that sponsors me now, that actually ended up helping me get out of relapse. I met her at a birthday party. There are people that I've met at birthday parties that I am friends with to this day that I met years and years and years ago. So it's like you guys took care of me and you loved me until I could love myself. You have been there for me when I had no one. I am not from California. I am from the East Coast. My sister recently moved here, but other than my sister and my two amazing children, I have no one here in the state. You guys have become my family. Through learning how to take better care of myself and therefore take better care of you, I don't have as many amends to make. I don't have to apologize as often because I'm in my mind knowing, you know, if I do this, say this bad thing, I'm going to have to write about it. I'm going to have to make an amends for it. That keeps me from, A, wanting to eat compulsively, so it all kind of works out there, but B, it keeps the side of my street clean. It keeps it clean. So between those three gifts, and there's actually so many more. There are so many more gifts, but I didn't have time to talk about all of those gifts. My life has just been transformed, and that's not to say everything is easy, because it's not. And that's not to say that I don't go through it, because I do. I have several people from my home meeting that listen to me kvetch, moan, whine, and complain sometimes, and they see me going through things, and they're with me as I go through things. That's the point. I'm not going through it alone and in the food and with the drapes drawn and with the phone unplugged anymore. I don't have to do that. That is such a freedom. That is such a gift. What I wanted to end, because I know my time is wrapping up, talking about what happens when the applause stops. That's what I wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about. And what do I mean when I say when the applause stops? I myself have lived either gaining weight or losing. So I am really practiced at gaining weight and losing weight. Not so practiced at maintaining. At least I wasn't up to this point. Not so practiced at that. So when I actually did lose all my weight, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I maintain it? What am I going to do? When all of the rush that comes from stepping on the scale and saying, oh, 2 more pounds are gone. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, I'm getting closer. When that rush fades because you can't weigh zero. So at some point, you know, you have to stop. What do you do when people are coming up to you? And, oh my gosh, Kia, you look amazing. What happens when all of that stops? That's what I mean when I say when the applause stops, then what? You know, it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of continuing to work the program. I now kind of have even more things to work on. I have even more things now to work on than I did with that. So it's like that's not even in my foreground anymore. That was an issue when I, you know, first lost my weight. But because, you know, the road gets narrower and, you know, character defects and all the other recovery things that we have to do, they come up and you have to deal with those kind of things. So I don't have as much time to focus on that as I used to. My sponsor was really very helpful at helping me get to a food plan that helped me maintain weight. So that has been less of an issue. I am now just as excited to see the scale stay the same as I ever was to see the scale going in a downward direction. I don't even need to weigh myself anymore. That is awesome freedom. I mean, and that was not anything on my paper. That's just awesome in and of itself because there was a time I had to weigh myself every day. And now I'm just like, oh, you mean I can just be from, I could go another month and not weigh because as long as I'm doing what it is that I need to be doing, my weight doesn't change. My clothes still fit. I've got the same clothes that I had 3 years ago. That's awesome for me who has never spent more than a day at one weight. You know, I mean, that's just been my experience. there are times when people will say those strangest things to me. They will say, oh, Kia. And these are usually either people who have, they're usually people who have known me heavier. You're getting too skinny, and you really need to gain some weight. And I had to really struggle with how it was that I was going to deal with those kind of comments. Because as a thinner person, you get a lot of attention. A lot of attention. And even, I think that was even part of the reason why it was that I had 50 pounds more than I should have for a while, because I wasn't really ready for that attention. I am ready for that attention. I don't mind it anymore. I love being able to go into a store and pick out clothes that are a size 8, a size 6, and being able to just say, I don't like that, as opposed to what's the thing that I can get out of the store that I don't look the worst in? The thing that looks great on the mannequin, but I put it on me, and I'm like, oh, you have got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. That is freedom, being able to pick and choose what it is that I'm going to wear, getting married in a normal size wedding dress, being able to, I'm going out to a theater play tonight, and I am actually wearing a plunging neckline kind of a dress. That's what I'm doing tonight. So if you go to the Pantages and you see me, that's Kia rocking a dress that I couldn't have even imagined I'd be able to wear 15 years ago. I will be 40 in a week. I am in better shape than I have ever been, physically, emotionally, still working on that, spiritually. And the only thing that I can say is that thank you, Overeaters Anonymous, for giving me a life. That's probably the biggest gift that I've gotten in program.
Thank you, Kia. Next, we will have Rhonda R.
Hi, I'm Rhonda R. I don't usually go by that. Anyhow, I am a compulsive eater. I have been in these rooms for 3 years as of January 3rd. I know I was the beginning of the year people. And I have released 414 pounds when I came in the rooms, and I have released 214 pounds thus far. And I have this little part, and I do have pictures running around the room, so that's just an aside. I have never seen a person grow or change in a constructive direction when motivated by guilt, shame, or hate. William Goldberg. And this is January 19th, and this is the For Today book. It's dressed in princesses because that's what I'm growing up to be. I truly believe that guilt, shame, resentments, hate, anger, all of those motivated me to be 414 pounds. In old compulsive terminology, gluttony or gluttonous is defined in the dictionary as a person who's devoted to eating or given to excess in consumption of especially food. What's interesting is I tried the diets, I tried the doctor food plans, I tried anything that I possibly could to lose the weight. I even went to the doctor and said, okay, I want the gastric bypass. That's the magic pill, right? That's the magic bullet. But for me, it wasn't, because I lost my 50 pounds and I was declined. Year two, you lost too much. You don't qualify. I was declined. I didn't even revel in the 50 pounds that I had lost. I was so angry. I was so burnt up, as the big book calls it, that I went immediately back to my compulsive overeating, and I stuffed it down. And I quickly, with cartoon quickness, grabbed that 50 pounds plus another 25 or 30 onto my body. I was so ashamed, and I had so much guilt that I had stopped the eating for a little while. But that shame, all of that sickness came back with a vengeance when I realized how much money I had just wasted for the last 6 months going to the weigh-in pay to make sure that I lost the 50 pounds to get declined. Why did I do that? And I have so much health history of diabetes, congestive heart failure, all those things in my family. And I was sitting, killing myself with each bite. And then in May of 2011, I had friends who used some words on me that were kind of harsh. They called me a compulsive eater. Yes, a compulsive eater. I hated those friends, especially, but at that time. But I was very grateful. I am very grateful for those friends now. And that planted a seed at that time. It allowed me to mull on it, but I had to go through some more shaming moments. And lo and behold, 8 months later, in January of 2014, that seed that they'd planted in May of 2011, it bloomed. I landed in the rooms. And lo and behold, I did come for the food plan because I came for the vanity, as many of us did. But what I heard was really strange. I was very judgmental. I will admit that. Everything that was said, from the serenity prayer, I thought was trite, to the 12 steps, what is that? To the 12 traditions, why do they go into business stuff? I'm so bored. Just give me the darn food plan and let me get out of here, please. And let me leave. They were speaking truth, but I didn't want to hear it. And then somebody with what they called abstinence, I have no idea what that was, those strange people started talking about binging and purging, and then they started talking about other stuff, and I'm like, I'm not like that. But then this woman started talking, and this particular woman was about 75 pounds to 80 pounds lighter than myself at that point. And what she said still sticks with me today. She said, you don't see my addiction to gambling. You don't see my addiction to shopping. You don't see an addiction to anything else, just to food, which is the sin of gluttony written all over my body. Oh, could I really have this problem? Do I really have an addiction to food? No, just give me that food plan thing and I'm going to get out. Well, I did get my food plan. But I had feelings that I'd never felt before. I had this feeling of, I felt a little accepted. I never felt that before. They were kind of weirdos, but, you know, they're not that bad. But I got what I wanted and I was done. And I left with the food plan and no guidance. But my guidance came in this recovery program. It was God ordained. It was inspired, definitely inspired. And it happened 1 week after I began. You see, my sponsor is my neighbor. She is also a church friend, and she's now my fellow. She helped guide me through the steps of recovery. In some instances, she spoon-fed me, and I'm certain I bored the hell out of her at times. And she gave me tools to help me work through some codependent issues even. She helped me do some changing. And the desire to change was huge for me because I wanted to change. I was so desperate for change. A friend says, you either come into these rooms two-way. One, and the best way is to come crawling through a Dutch door on your knees and crawling, because if you're not, you're not ready. And I take that I was at that point, I was crawling. Today, I have read the Dignity of Choice. I use the high protein plan with a few adjustments with my sponsor. And I figured out how to not use wheat and white flour and sugar and loose foods. Oh, boy, I was good at loose foods, meaning potato chips, things like that. I don't want to go into a lot of food. But potatoes were my other thing that's not on my list either of good things for my body. My weight changed drastically. In that first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And when I went to a 3-meal-a-day with nothing in between but sugar-free soda and coffee. But then I also had one more thing. I had God holding my hand. And that was a new experience, because I will tell you that I was probably agnostic when it came to my food. I'd been in church all my life, but I was agnostic when it came to my food because I didn't think God needed to deal with that. And there was another thing in this program. I felt two things. I felt, number one, I had never felt before. Number two, I felt full for the first time. I had never felt hunger, and I never felt full. Thank you. And what was interesting was I couldn't eat all the veggies that I was told to eat. Okay, strange too. In 2012, my first year, I lost 150 pounds. I worked the full steps, and I started sponsoring. By 2013, my second year in program, I'd lost 48 more pounds. I had my hip replaced because I didn't know it was damaged. And I went around the world to Japan, well, halfway around. And I did it all by myself. And by that point, I'd lost 198 pounds. But the thing that I tell you that little piece is that I was able to fit in one seat and not have to buy two. Because one of my shaming moments was being told, next time you fly with us, make sure you buy two seats because you're into the other person's seat. Have a nice day. Ugh. By 2014, however, I only lost 16 pounds. That's my third year in program. My grand total today is 214 pounds. And you see a significant change. 150, 48, 16. Not bad. I'm still losing weight. But what happened in 2014, was that I had ego get in my way. And that's edging God out, if you don't know that terminology. I had gotten to my goal size, which, oh, by the way, I hadn't set a goal. Well, I didn't think I had. But in my head, I got to a size 14, and that was the trigger. Size 14 isn't a big deal to most people, but to me, it really, really was, because it meant that I was the size my mother told me I was fat. I was trying on her wedding dress, and she told me I was fat in front of another friend and my sister. I don't remember those two people being there. I just remember those words coming from my mom. And so, I was a size 14. Oh, my gosh. But this thinking, however, is stinking thinking. Because it became my slippery slope to BLTs. Bites, licks, tastes. I was not working the how of the program, which is honesty, openness, and willingness. In fact, I was dishonest. With myself, with my sponsor, with my fellows, and with my five sponsees, and with my family. The openness to change, there was none. No. I was balking at exercise. I was balking at a food plan change. I was balking to work my steps. I'd finished that, right? I did all 12 steps. Come on, do we have to do this again? Yes, yes. If you keep working the steps and take the action, it works if you work it. I didn't have the willingness. And in fact, I wasn't taking direction. I had no willingness. And I began to use my blame thrower. And I took everybody's inventory, especially my own sponsor. This is red flag, danger, red flag. You don't take anyone's inventory, ever. But I wasn't using most of my known tools. In fact, I was spinning out of control. And I was serving as secretary to three meetings for OA. You know, I was doing OA stuff, right? I was doing the right thing. I was designing and writing and printing our OA newsletter. We have a small community in Bakersfield. I was doing yard sales for OA events. I was speaking. I was still sponsoring. But I didn't have anything to give. I was a fraud. My emotional health was overdrawn. I'd have been bouncing checks if I had had a bank account of emotional health. And my sponsor could not get through my thick head that I was spinning. And then in October of this last year, my sponsor helped stop my tilt-a-whirl craziness by asking me a simple yet hard question. Are we done as sponsee? Because she's my friend, that wasn't going to end. What did I do? I went to the victim role, and yet I heard something that I wasn't excited about hearing, but she said, do you know what a healthy body weight is, Rhonda? Your BMI? She's a physical education teacher. I should have listened, but I was still upset and didn't want to, but that got through to me, and lo and behold, I looked it up that night, and it still said I was morbidly obese. Wait a second, I've lost 200 pounds. Wait a second. I'm a size 14. Wait a second. But that was stinking thinking again. And so, with the help of a nutritionist and with the help of a little bit of adjusting to my food plan, lo and behold, in the last 3 months, I've lost 8 pounds. 8 pounds? That's so significant. Even over the holidays, I lost those 8 pounds. And you know what? God is helping with my mental twists. He's helping me with my disturbances. Because I was letting those pile up on my side of the street. It wasn't pretty. I have sponsees that I get to make apologies to. I get to take down that wall of disturbances and work through them. In fact, in page 86 of the big book, it's called Upon Retiring. And if you don't know that part, it's really good. It's part of your 10-step work. And it's something that has become a part of my daily routine. Doesn't always happen, but let me tell you, when I get to do it, and I try to do it every night, when I do it, it makes it so much easier to get through the day. I don't have the guilt. I don't have the shame. And I know I'm working towards a healthy body weight. And today, I know that my healthy body weight is between 160 and 170. And that's, for today, that's out there. I'm not going there. But what I do need to do is work on 10-pound increments. And I don't have to get all crazy when I get on the scale and it goes down again. That's really fun, yeah. Okay, the scale became my God for a while. It did. I will admit that. But now it's in its place because God's holding my hand and he's taking me through one step at a time. And this month, I just got to that 200-pound marker and I did not go crazy as much, though had a moment last night, and though it was crazy, we got through it. And it was the size thing again, and my sponsor saw it. And she helped me recognize that I, again, can't get a size stuck in my head. I have to keep moving forward. Today, I get to accept that, yes, I have insanity. But thank God, I know that in these rooms, I fit in. Because you're all with me on this, right? Yes, I'm not alone. I have hope. I have a new freedom. I have grace that I have never had before in my life. I have the 12 steps. I have 9 tools. And I get to lean on them, and I get to use them and clean on them. I have action. and more action to take. Because just for today, I choose to hand over this mess. Because alone, I'm a mess. With you, there's freedom. With you, I get to accept that I am not bad and wrong. Or I don't have to be perfect, because that's something I've always tried to do. I'm imperfect. And that's okay. That's okay. For those of you that are perfectionists, it's okay to be imperfect. Though I'll try to be perfect. Wait, that's still that stinking thinking again. Hold on. This program has given me grace to not be perfect. It's given me acceptance. And it's giving me a willingness to change from the inside out. I've lost the most significant weight right here between my ears. I've lost 1,000,000 pounds between my ears. And I have to tell you, for today, I will continue this journey with you. And we will trudge that happy road together, not alone. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Rhonda. Last up is Holly.
Strangle anybody. Hi, I'm Holly, compulsive reader.
Hi.
Hi, I'll just stand up here. Nobody gets Harry Carey. So you're all on my chair there.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. Okay, hi, everybody. I'm so honored to be here in this meeting of 100 Pounders. Number one, it's always an honor to speak for Overeaters Anonymous, to share in a meeting or speak at a meeting or whatever, and I always get nervous. But when Jeff called me and asked me to speak at the 100 Pounders panel, he said, can you do that? And I said, yeah, I can do that. I mean, it was such a feeling of peace because that's what I am. I'm a 100 Pounder. And I always say I'm just a garden variety overeater. You know, I came into this program I lived my life. I shouldn't say I came into this program. I lived my life at 280 pounds until I was 46 years old, and I came back into program. I'm passing my pictures around. That really shows the best. When I can see somebody, the visual is always the best for me. And I want to point out to you something that's really cool. Do you notice I have a white shirt on?
Yeah.
That would not happen for 46 years. And I wear this in particular on purpose because, number one, it makes me feel good that I can wear a white shirt out in public. I never wore a white shirt. It was always black or, you know, and I was, you know what I mean. Anybody that's a 100-pounder knows what I mean. And I bought this shirt. I went shopping with my sponsor. My sponsor is the most gorgeous woman. Very healthy body weight. She's not a 100-pounder, and she looks like a model. I don't know how the two got together there, but that's what. And we went shopping one day. It was on my birthday, and we said, "What are we going to do? Let's just go to Target." We went to Target. I said, "I need some new. I have to replenish my wardrobe now because it wears out. They get faded. Actually, clothes fade." And they kind of rip at the shoulder. What, you know? Anyway, and we went, and she said to me, "Which one makes you feel good?" You know, and I went into dressing room and I walked out and showed her stuff. That is not me, you know. And she said, "Which one makes you happy? This one, my white shirt." So anyway. It's always significant, you know, when I wear that. And it makes me feel like the opposite of what I was when I came in. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was never a healthy body weight in my life. You can see from the pictures at four. There's a picture when I was 4 years old. I was not healthy. All the way through school, high school was hell. High school was hell with that. And all the way into adulthood, I was just, you know, I always felt different. The best way to describe that is I really tried to be invisible. I was 280 pounds, and I didn't want anybody to look at me, so I wouldn't look at you. I thought that made me invisible. I'd be behind people. I'd be behind the bush somewhere. I wouldn't ever be out in the front. I wouldn't be, I would never be a leader. Like, I couldn't step up to things. I couldn't, if I wanted to do something fun for myself, it would be hard for me to actually even navigate that and go do it. I was a very shy, and I didn't talk. Okay, that's a good description of me. And I was 280 pounds, you know. I didn't know how to dress. I grew up back east, and I grew up very, very poor. And I didn't, a lot of times didn't, we didn't have heat, and it was near Buffalo. So I kind of grew up like that. Like, we didn't take a bath. What? It's freezing, you know. It was not good. And so people would back away from me a lot, especially in high school. Thank God when I was 30, I moved out here. Thank God. It was not that it was that bad when I was an adult, when I was back east. But you know what I was? I was a grill cook. My father owned a restaurant back east. It was a diner. And I went through college, but I couldn't quite navigate getting into the field that I went to college for. So I went and worked for him, which is what all us kids did. We went and worked for Dad. And he taught me how to be a really, really good grill cook. And I could do that, you know, because I was behind. I was behind things. There's always something in front of me. But I took a lot of barbs. But so I was a grill cook, and I literally ate all the time. There was a cellar, and I would have food down, even down cellar, that I would go down to get something, and I'd come, you know, I eat and come back up. So this was eating was a constant thing. I never stopped. It's not that I sat down and ate three pizzas. I just ate all the time. So when I moved out here, I really thought that that would help, but it didn't. Anyway, because I came too. I was in the car when I came out here. So I got into a whole different profession, and I was, you know, it was more of a people, like I had to talk, actually had to talk to people, and it was really scary. I was scared most of the time out here. I was scared most of the time my whole life, but I was scared most of the time doing my job. So what I would do was I would go from these different places that I had to be in the car. I had my route that I had to go to, and I'm from the valley, so I would come from the valley. A lot of my places were over in here, Glendale, whatever. And if I had to go to three buildings, I can tell you the three places I stopped in between those buildings. I had routes, and I would just get food, go to my next place. Then I'd get some more food, go to the next place. And that's what I did. I did that for many, many, many years. And I ate off the seat over here. That was where the food was. And then I'd go home and eat. So that's kind of how it was. I'm so grateful I can talk today. I suffered from this allergy for about 2 weeks. Oh, my God. And I kept on praying because I know I had to speak. I kept on praying to God because I pray to God for everything. God, you know, just help it clear because, number one, I'm miserable, but I really want to not worry about that when I'm speaking, and I'm really clear today. I'm so much better. Anyway, so what happened? Okay, that's how it was. So what happened? I came into the program in 1993-94. I was here for about a year and a half, 2.5 years, I guess. And I can tell you what not to do, because this is what I did. I came in, and I kind of did drive-by OA for a while. I'd got a couple of meetings I'd go to, and I'd sit in the meeting, and that was okay. The biggest thing that happened to begin with is that there was an app. I heard, you know, I would come in and sit. I could listen. I didn't talk. I could listen, though. Three meals a day, and I thought, that's about the opposite of what I'm doing, isn't it? Three meals a day. I need to eat three meals a day. So I got that, I got that. Stop eating. Yeah, I had to put down the stop eating all the time. So I ate three meals a day. I had stopped eating sugar years before, kind of on my own, very ungracefully. on my own, I stopped eating sugar. I thought that was making me sick and fat. But that wasn't my problem. Obviously, that wasn't my problem. When I stopped eating sugar, I of course, lost a little weight, and I just gained it right back because that wasn't my problem. I do have an addiction to sugar. I stopped eating it. That's great, and I haven't eaten it for quite many years. But so my abstinence today and then was three meals a day and no sugar. So I could do that. I could do three meals a day, and but what I didn't do is I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't for any length of time other than a day because I would never call them. I really didn't do any of the writing. I didn't do any of the work or the steps. So that's exactly the formula for failure in Overeaters Anonymous. But, you know, I sat for a couple of years, and I learned a little bit, and I got to know a few people. So great. But what that did do is it allowed me to walk right back out of program without any repercussions or, like, feeling bad. I just stopped coming, you know, and I had to eat for eight more years. And I was with a partner by that time. I had gotten into a really good relationship, and we had a house, and we had a catering company that we ran right out of the house, okay? So that's not a good suggestion for anybody that's a compulsive overeater. It was a really successful catering company. So I was working my butt off. I worked full-time, and we did this catering company, and there was literally food around all the time, you know? And I did this, and I literally would be in pain from the minute I stood up when we did cooking day. It was Saturday. I would be in pain for 6 or 8 hours just cooking and standing that whole time and then barking at each other and then delivering the food. It was really nuts, okay? Then all that leftover and stuff. Anyway, that's how I was living. We had a good job, and I was working my job and everything. And I want to get to a specific story because Jeff reminded me this morning, what about the times, which you two ladies actually touched on, what about the times when, you know, you get a lot of attention when you lose a lot of weight? Did anybody experience that? I did. A lot of attention, a lot of stuff coming at you, and then it stops. And I thought, yeah, I got a couple of perfect stories for that. Anyway, so what happened was, after this 8 years, here's how I want to describe how I felt. I didn't feel. That's what it was. I had lost any notion of feeling anything. It had just dropped off. We had stopped the catering company, so I know that this had something to do with it, because I had actually been able to stop moving. I was not a moving target anymore. I had stopped. There was a little bit of time. I was sitting. I had gotten, in the summer of 2002, I was still 280 pounds. Nothing changed there. I got to feeling so bad. I hated myself. I hated my life. I hated everything about it. I wasn't even focusing on the weight anymore. I didn't care. And I felt so bad that I said to myself, I have to go back to OA for no other reason than I have to be somewhere. I was really dead. I felt like I was dead. So inside, the whole inside was dead. I have to do something. I have to walk into a room somewhere. So I went right back in the valley to the 100 Pounders meeting, to Monday Night Miracles. I walked in and I sat down, and I was greeted with such joy. That was perfect meetings to walk into. I was greeted, I was welcomed, and I sat and listened. I got a sponsor. I didn't know I was working the steps. I didn't even walk into the rooms with any thought of losing weight. I was so done with, I was done with everything. I just knew I needed to feel different. So I walked in, I sat down, I started listening, I got a sponsor. And she started me on a writing program right away. I didn't know what I was doing. It didn't matter. I just did what she asked me to do. And she was a 100-pounder. So I started on this writing program, and I was, and within about a month, I asked her for help with my food plan. I had gotten back to 3 meals a day and no sugar. I didn't eat. It's not like I changed that so much, but I had the minute I walked back in, that kind of organized itself in my head. 3 meals a day and no sugar. Okay, I can do that. 3 meals a day, no sugar. The day I started calling her was September 28th, 2002, and that's the day, my first day of abstinence. So I've got 12 and whatever years of abstinence, and right now I'm walking around, and I have been at 140 pounds, so I'm exactly half of how I live my life. And that's pretty much how I evened out, and thank you, that's God. That's how I evened out, and that's what I stay at, and I'm really comfortable. Anyway, so she helped me with a food plan, and by working the food plan and writing the steps all at the same time, that allowed me to stay on the food plan, which allowed me to very slowly and kind of generally lose weight. And I did. I stopped watching. I mean, I weighed every. I think that then I was weighing every month, and I'd check in with her. If we had to adjust, we'd adjust something. But it was really just going kind of steady. And you'll see from the pictures, I got a couple of pictures like halfway down and stuff. I remember the first day I bought a yellow shirt that was an extra large at Target. And I thought, and it had a big stripe on it. And I loved that shirt. And it only lasted about 4 months because I was on my way down in weight. And, of course, it doesn't fit after a while. But I kept that yellow shirt. Hung it up, kept that yellow shirt for the longest time because I couldn't buy a yellow shirt with a stripe across. It wouldn't fit, you know. So the point I wanted to, anyway, I got to a healthy body weight eventually. It took a little while. I dropped down a little bit, which was not fun. I know it sounds like fun. It wasn't fun at all. Thank you. And people started to say, you know, people all along the way, which is now what he asked me to, reminded me to talk about, you know, when I started losing weight, I get these fires of people just, I was in this building. I was in a three-story office building, and I knew everybody there because I had rented to them. So I knew everybody in the building, and it was a three-story office building with a courtyard. And I'll never forget. Sometime I walk in there, and people were shouting from the third floor down, "Hey, Holly, you're looking so good," and just shouting at me. So. You know, it was so hard for me to, not even to let it in, just to not want to just run back to my car. Because remember, I wanted to be invisible. I didn't want anybody to look at me. And people were just, anybody who knew me. And then I'd go back east to see my family. I'd get off the plane and they would say, they would just look. My father, he would just look. They don't know what to say. They did know what to say. And then when I'd eat, they'd watch me. They didn't say anything. They made sure they had a lot of lettuce in the house. They'd watch me. And that's how it was. And I had to say, okay, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. Because nobody had ever in my family had ever actually kept weight off. They would lose it. They'd go to Weight Watchers, lose it, go right back up. That's what I did. But anyway, so the attention was really hard, and now there isn't any attention. So what really was the funny part, my family still looks. I don't know why. But what was the really funny part is then my boss moved me to a whole different office building. These are people that didn't know me, okay? When I had gotten almost to a healthy body weight. And so now I'm walking around, there's nobody saying a word. Other than now I'm shy because it's a bunch of new people. And I'm walking around, I'm going, okay, you're safe here because nobody knows you. Isn't that hysterical? There was no attention. You see, the only attention was that I was new there. I was their new manager. But I'd go back to that other office building and they, you know, they still ask me sometimes because there's still some of the same people. Wow, you kept all that weight off. You know, that attention doesn't stop really. And now I can receive it with just like it's nothing. It's just with grace. And I think this program, has taught me that I'm not a very graceful person, but I can, through working the steps and getting a relationship with God that is a very personal relationship, and getting more in touch with everything, working with a sponsor every day, and working with sponsees every day. Like, I'm answering the phone every day, 6 times, at least, right? And talking. And you see the difference? Like, I answer the phone, and then when I call, my sponsor answers the phone, and we talk. That's intimacy like you never would think. You know, that's intimacy. If you ever want to know the description of that, we get to know everything about ourselves. Who lives like that? I don't know. I see my family, my older sister, and she just suffers with this, you know. And I get to say, God, I can pick up the phone and say, you know, oh, my God, they're only having peas. You know, there's no green here. I don't, you know. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But I really worked this program hard. Thank you. And my time's up, but I just want to say I'm so grateful for Overeaters Anonymous and the path I have today and the work I do today. It just puts me here with a lot of joy and gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Now is the time for questions and answers. Please raise your hand, and I will call on as many questioners as possible. Your questions can be directed at one person specifically or generally for the panel to answer. Please be aware that we are recording this panel, and when asking a question, your voice may be audible on the recording. Who would like to ask the first question? Yes.
Hi, my name is John, and I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, near Nashville. But I lived in Los Angeles most of my life. In fact, I started in OA Howe back in the 80s. I got up to 337 pounds. I lost 106. I went through a traumatic event about a year ago. Came back 15 pounds. But the weight that I lost, I kept 100 off for about 3 or 4 years in Overeaters Anonymous. But I still, it's like I got stuck at that 100-pound point, you know. And I've seen that happen with other people. I know it's fairly common, but I really, for health reasons and for sanity, I want to get down to a healthy BMI. So anyway, that's my question, I guess. I just want to make that, I want to let it go and proceed with my life. So methods or suggestions or?
For me, I just would say, because I also got stuck at the 100-pound point, and for me, it just was really looking at my program, looking at my food plan, and thinking about, okay, what is it that is not working for me? What am I eating? Because if I'm maintaining this weight, I'm eating more than my body needs to do that. So there is something that is not right here. When I figured out what those foods were, the weight came off, and it came off with relatively little effort. And it wasn't a big drama, and my mind cleared. So there was a part that was more clear than what it was before I was in program. But it only, you know, I plateaued spiritually, plateaued emotionally, but when I was really willing to let go of those foods that even I didn't binge on, but they still made me foggy, that was when it happened for me.
Rhonda, compulsive eater still, and I think to answer a little bit of your question, I went to a nutritionist, and they helped me look at what I was eating. I was eating too much fat in my salad dressing. Okay, that's not a big deal, but I reduced it. I reduced the fats in that. I started looking at the difference or when I would go or in just my day and what my kinds of foods. My sponsor's been helping model a few things. So if I have a heavier meal, I'll eat a lighter or more brothy dinner. And if I, you know, have something more heavy one day, I go lighter the next day. And that's where she's helped model a few things for me. I'm still not perfect. It's progress, not perfection. But like I said, 8 pounds over the holidays is a lot. And that's telling me that something is working. And so, anyway, I hope that helps.
Holly, compulsive overeater, thanks for your question. It's a great question, and I think that I have a food, I'm just going to speak for myself. I have a food plan that works for me to maintain this weight, and I stay with it. I don't vary from it. It's great. It works. It's perfect. But if something has to change, like if I have to change something, if I started either dropping more or gaining more, I would have to change my food plan. And what I do is, it's never immediate. It's always after a little while of I see what a trend is. But it's always with the help of my sponsor. It's always with the help of my posse, my 100-pounder posse that I have, my girls. And it's always with God. So I know that when I have to change my food plan, I may not like it. And as I get older, I'm sure I'll have to. I may not like it, but the reason I'm able to do that is exactly the reason why I'm not 280 pounds is I have the steps. And I would work, I know I would tell somebody if they asked me that, I would work through the steps, do another run through the steps on it, and ask for willingness to adjust my food plan.
Okay, the question was, how long did it take to get for me to get comfortable looking at myself and taking pictures and all that kind of stuff? That's actually a longer story, so we can maybe meet and talk about that later. But the short answer is, I would say, there's no short answer. I'll just do the best I can. Take advantage of the time that you're losing weight, because I spent so much time focused on the end result that by the time I got there, I wasn't ready. And I didn't have the time to prepare for what life would be like at a normal weight. And so I've now spent the last several years trying to get my mind the size of my body. And over the holidays, I made a video. I was away from my kids, and I made a video for them to send to them while over the holidays. And I realized I could look at myself on this video and say, oh, my gosh, wow, that's me. I look pretty good. As opposed to, oh, I can't watch that because I don't watch videos of myself. I don't do that. I can listen to myself on tape. I can do all of those things. So I would say that's actually relatively recently.
Okay, in the back.
I forgot this portion of the dysmorphia portion. I did not know that I was so large. I looked in the mirror and I saw Rhonda from high school, which was maybe a size 16, 14, 16, somewhere in that area. I didn't see big Rhonda. What's funny is now when I look in the mirror, I see big Rhonda. I don't see smaller Rhonda. So if I'll be in somewhere new, there'll be a mirror. I don't know who that lady is in the mirror. Oh, it's me. Oh, okay. So it's still the realization process. It's not something that I didn't come into the rooms thinking I could lose anything more than 50 pounds because that's all I'd ever lost before. I was challenged by my sister. She said, if you lose 150 pounds, and actually what's funny is when she told my mom this story, she said, I only said 100. And then when she called me and talked to me, she says, oh, no, 150 pounds. Okay, fine, whatever, it didn't matter. Actually, I didn't even go for the 150 pounds because of her telling me that she would pay my way to come see her in Japan. That wasn't the reason. It just fell off my body. It was working the steps. It wasn't something I planned. I never planned this amount of weight, 214 pounds. Who plans that? I didn't. It wasn't a plan. It just happened. And that's this program, truly. When you work the program, it works for you. And it just goes away. God does it for me. It's not me that's done it. It's God. Thank you.
Holly, compulsive overeater. Thank you. That's a great question. You know, when I had no faith that I would lose any weight. I didn't even walk in here with any faith. But when it started to go down a little bit, I thought, oh. And I know that for a fact, up until I was 46, I had only gotten down to weight of a little below 200. I only hit that mark twice on some diet, and I stayed there for a day, right back up. So walking into Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't know that I was going to lose this weight. I just kept going, and I was astounded that it actually came off. So it wasn't anything planned. It was just that I followed a food plan with the steps and God. That's it.
Okay, my history with sugar. I would say that I have sugar in me. It was a long, long, bad, difficult history with sugar. And that was what I was able to identify first as my first addiction, the sugar. Binging on cakes, cookies, pies, I mean anything pretty much. If it was sweet, then it was me. That was actually, interestingly enough, easier to let go of. The sugar was easier for me to let go of than the other things that were jamming me up because, you know, you can live a life and don't eat sugar and, you know, you can kind of be on your merry way. And there's other things that are much more insidious in terms of their effects on your thinking and the way that, you're able to function. And so I'm not necessarily sure what more to say about my history with sugar other than once I figured out that it had to go, everything else opened up. I can say that. Really quick to make sure that the other panel members get to speak on how to deal with people who are sick and, you know, realizing that I am still a sick person, just a sick person trying to get better. Really, I try as much as I can to have compassion. There was this one exercise that I did that I found very, very helpful. There was a person in my life who I was not happy with and taking their inventory and all these different things. And what I did was I made a list of all the things that were upsetting to me about this person, and I looked for the ways that I did those things in my life. And when I did that, I was able to see I do all of these things in one form, one shape, one fashion or another. And it was able to make me see that even though this person does these things, I do them too, and I'm not a monster. I'm just, you know, somebody who is doing the best that they can. This person doesn't have a program. So when I really try to have compassion first for myself for doing these things, then I can have compassion for them. So.
Oh, man, I'm learning a lot from that question. Thank you. Because I'm still dealing with that. I deal with it daily. My husband is a compulsive eater. So I'm in this all the time. I have adjusted how I deal with family and others. I come from a long line of compulsive eaters, so I come by this naturally. And going home and staying at my parents' house is going into a battlefield because both my mother and my father are both compulsive eaters. And what's interesting is my mother's come alongside me a little bit more lately. And they've never said that they were proud of me for my weight loss. They never said any of that, which significantly kind of hurt, and I didn't realize it until at Christmas time. And what was interesting is that I have had jabs about bringing lettuce into the house. I think it was you. I'm like, oh my gosh, because I was called a horse because I ate like a horse. And that hit me with, ouch, that hurts. But I had somebody tell me, you know, he's just upset at you because of the fact that you're doing what he can't do. Oh, that was brilliant. That was so brilliant. Because, yeah, today I'm working on me. And I don't have to have that disease of or psychosis that I see in them. I see it really big in my sister. Out of control. They're home now from Japan, and they at Christmas time they were just moving back home, and all their stuff was in transit. The only thing she could control was the kitchen, and she was in control. And so I saw what I was like when I was out of control. And I love my sister, and I get to love them where they're at. And today, I just tell you to love them where they're at, because that's all you can do. They're sick and suffering. If they had cancer, would you treat them any different? Would you treat them better than what you're treating them now? That's what the big book says. So, thanks.
Holly, compulsive overeater. You know, the program gives me tools to deal with anybody and to deal with anything in life. The program gives me tools about that, but I try to practice compassion, and I try to practice detachment. On a daily basis, I have to do that and just know that, yes, there's a turnaround. Usually if it's bothering me, I have that, and I get to work on it. But the other thing is that live and let live, and I stay in my circle. That's it. Thanks.
Yes, over here in the black.
Hi, I'm Nina.
Hi.
Is there one specific thing that's helped you grow your relationship to God? Is it the steps? I mean, is there one thing that you think has helped you develop a closer relationship with God?
Is that directed towards any one person?
Kia, compulsive eater. Hi. I would say as much conscious contact as possible throughout the day, starting the day in prayer and throughout the day, God, what it is that you want me to do, talking to God. Anybody that you want to develop a relationship with, you have to spend time with. And so spending time with my higher powers has to be a priority for me, or things go badly.
I think of myself, okay, it's a food thing, a toaster. Okay, if I'm a toaster, I need energy. God is my energy. If I plug in, then we work. If I don't plug in, I'm psycho, and I go in that spinning tornado stupid cycle, and I'm not plugged in. And if I plug in, he's there. Oh, wow, that's a concept. If I plug in, he's there. If I don't plug in, I'm a psycho mess. That's it.
Holly, compulsive overeater. I think my best answer would be that first the steps to find God, and then on a daily basis, I would say when I can't find God, because that happens, people remind me, number one, my sponsor, and the most important people that remind me are the beautiful women that call me every morning. And we get to talk about it. And that's what always brings me back to God, to answer the phone. Thanks.
Okay, we have time for one final question. Okay, right here in the front.
I don't know that answer.
Ask me the question again, just the question. In the end, it's really a relief because then this is an opportunity for growth for me and an opportunity to work on something else, to think, I don't have to have weight as my focus. I can have my life as my focus, and it's actually, it's a very big freedom for me. Thanks.
And just super quickly, I just wanted to say that it's when the applause stops for me, it's really been an opportunity for me to develop that love and compassion for myself so that I don't have to rely on other people in the same kind of way. So it's really that's what when the applause stops, then I get to start giving myself what I could never give myself before. And that's with the program and God and all of that.
Thank you all for participating. I would like to thank Kia, Rhonda, and Holly for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. The next session will be starting in 10 minutes, so please clear the room and take your conversations to the hallway. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Do you have the other little photos that were out there? Oh, it's inside. Oh, thank you.
I didn't get to hear you speak. That was pretty good.